Well, hello to everyone. It's so good to be before you this morning. My name is Greg Monk. I'm one of the lead pastors here. And man, we have an awesome church. And it's just, it's such a blessing to come here on Sunday and to see all of you, those who I know really well and those who I don't know as well. But it's a blessing for me. It fills my soul. And I get to talk about that today, what that is, and that's part of fellowship. We're in a series called Rooted, and it's based on Colossians 2, 6, and 7. And it says this, here's what it says. It says, and now, just as you accepted Christ, Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him to be rooted in him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. That's what it is all about, to be rooted. And that's what we're talking about here in this series, is being rooted in Christ, having not just this surface top, but where are our roots? What are we locked into? Where are we getting our source from? What is helping us through our storm? And as we went through that, the R represents read God's word daily. Such an important thing. The first O is obey the leading of the Holy Spirit. And the third O in rooted is offer your prayer and thanksgiving to God. And we just did that in worship. What a beautiful time that was. Last week, JP talked about the T, tithe your income and resources to God. Give us some just practical nuggets and truth in that. Today, I'm going to talk about enjoy fellowship with God's people. And then a couple weeks after Father's Day, we're going to talk about declare your faith in Christ publicly. So that's rooted. That's rooted. And I get the E in rooted. And the E in rooted is enjoy fellowship with God's people. Man, I'm a fellowship junkie. I love fellowship. I'm an extrovert, and people fill me up. And I know not everyone's an extrovert. Some of us are introverted. But fellowship is such a key component to your Christian walk. And it's so easy to neglect it. It's so easy to go it alone. And so I want to really talk about that E. And I want us to enjoy fellowship with God's people. Would you pray with me? Lord, I'm so grateful to be in your house this morning. Lord, to praise your name. Lord, to sing those songs that we just sang, to give you glory, Lord God, because that's why we gather. Part of why we gather, Lord God, is to worship you and to praise your name and to have fellowship with you and your people, God. Lord, I pray that, Lord, we would leave here different, that these passages and, Lord, these words that you've put on my heart, Lord God, we would leave different. We would view fellowship in a different light, Lord God. Lord, I pray it would spur us on to change. I pray that it's not just going to church on Sunday. I pray it's not just another message. I pray that, Lord God, your words would impact our lives so much that we would respond differently. Lord, I pray that for myself. I pray that, Lord, even though I love fellowship, that I would seek to do it more, Lord God, that I would be more intentional in my walk, in my journey to fellowship with God's people. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for bringing us here. Lord, speak to us. Lord God, I give you this message. In Jesus' name we pray, and we all said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man, it's such a joy to gather with you. And especially as we explore the meaning of fellowship and its significance in our lives as Christians. It's an important piece. And we do fellowship really good here at Crossline. Fellowship is more than just socializing or attending church services on Sunday. But I appreciate that. I appreciate that you come here on Sunday. It's a part of fellowship. And it's one of our first steps to do in fellowship is coming to church. It's a powerful avenue for us coming here and having fellowship. It provides us spiritual growth, and it causes transformation. Today, we're going to dive into the Word of God and discover the beauty of enjoying fellowship with God's people. Now, some of you may be asking yourselves, you know, how do we fellowship with God's people? How do we do it? Well, I have three simple points for you this morning on how we're gonna do that. And the first is this. The first is gather, grow, and worship together. If you have a fill-in there, the word is together, or underline that, together. Gather, grow, and worship together. Not separate, not alone, together. We need to do it together. You know, the early church in Acts serves as a powerful example to the transformative power of fellowship. It says this in Acts 2, 42 to 47. Here's what it says. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. You guys, this is a picture this, the Pentecost, it just took place. You know, the tongues of fire and the wind of God blew and 3,000 people got saved. This is the early church, 3,000 people. What are you gonna do with all the 3,000 people? We have to do something with them. So they gave to each other. They took care of needs for each other. They provided fellowship. They fellowshiped together. And in that, we read in that passage, not only did Pentecost happen and 3,000 came to the Lord, but as they were interacting with each other, as they were providing for each other's needs, the believers, what happened? Their numbers started to grow. And it says, they added to their number daily those who were being saved. And that's a powerful picture for us. They devoted themselves to gathering, growing in faith, and worshiping together. Their unity, their selflessness, and joy demonstrated the impact of weekly fellowship in worship and community. You know, there's a couple observations I want to just share with you. One is, these early believers were united in their faith. This is talking about the Christians. This is not people outside. This passage is talking about the believers. They were united in their faith in Christ and devoted themselves to vibrant fellowship, creating a community that displayed the transformative power of God's love. You know, and that's what I want. I want Crossline to be known by the transforming power of God's love. And praise God, we are known for that. I can't tell you how many messages I get of just discussions or people in the street I hear at Costco or wherever I'm at. And it's like, oh my gosh, what's happening at Crossline? So such and such marriage was saved. What's happening at Crossline? Oh my gosh, this person was cured of cancer. What's happening at Crossline? God's moving, these people are being saved and guys are getting baptized. And how many kids are at your TVBS and all the fellowship? And I can't tell you what a blessing it is to hear about that. The transforming power of Christ is happening here at Crossline. You know what? But we want more of that, right? We want more lives to be transformed. We want more people to come to faith in Jesus. We want more marriages healed and helped. We want more prodigals to come home. We want, you know, men to come up to a wilderness retreat who are not connected and leave connected and surrender to Jesus. Man, the fellowship with God's people, it changes lives. We read about it in Acts, and it's happening here at Crossline. And do we want more of that? Yes, we want more of that. And how do we get more of that? I want Crossline to be known by the transforming power of God, because that is the only reason we're here. It's because of Jesus and Jesus alone. We're all about making Christ known. That's what we want to be about here. You know, fellowship in the Greek means koinonia. That's the word. You've heard it. Sometimes there's a coffee shop, koinonia, coffee shop. And what it means is to share something. It means to share something. And the Christian life is meant to be full of fellowship. That's a piece of it, even for the introverted people that are listening. It is for you too. Fellowship, it's important. Because when we do that, we share with one another. We start doing that. And what are we sharing? What is it that we're sharing? We share the same Lord Jesus. Amen? Amen? We share the same guide for life. This is the Bible, the basic instructions before leaving Earth. It's not the real acronym of it, but it is the one I've used forever with my youth kids, and I was talking about it with the men because I was talking about the Word of God and how it transforms your life. And I used to say, it's basic instructions before leaving Earth. And it's true, it is. It's the tools and rules to eternal life. It's our guide, it helps us. It is our guide. We share the same love for God. That's why we're here. Either we're here and we're checking it out, someone invited us, maybe we have circumstances in our heart and we're trying to figure out who God is. Or maybe we've said yes to God and we're here, so we share the same love for God. We share the same desire to worship him. Amen. That was some great worship this morning. Yeah, amen. We share the same struggles. We share the same victories. We share the same job of living for him, for Jesus. We share the same joy of communicating the gospel. That's what, in the end, we're here to do, is communicate the message of the gospel. That saves life, the good news of Jesus, that he came and he walked this earth, that he paid a debt for our sin. He paid it on a cross, and then he died and he rose again. And because of him, we have eternal life. That's why we celebrate. The second observation is they selfishly share their lives and resources, meeting one another's needs and exemplifying a radical generosity that defy the societal norms. You know, and in this situation, there was a lot of people when it was a big event. A big event happened, and so all these people, and so they help each other out, you know, in this circumstance. But it doesn't have to stop at just the big events or the big happenings. We can help each other, and we can buck the system of how the society thinks, and we can help each other and help ourselves and bless each other. And we need to be about that. And the best way to find out a need of somebody, or the best way to communicate a need, is not just here on Sunday, but is in the smaller group of fellowship and hanging out as well, or letting us know there's a need. You can let us know if you have a need on a Connect card. Let us come around you, let us help you. The third observation is through their commitment to learning worship and prayer, the believers grew together in faith and became a dynamic force for spreading the gospel, leaving a lasting impact on the world. And that's what I want to be about, leaving a lasting impact on the world. I left an awesome job at QLogic Corporation selling semiconductors as the Asia Pacific regional manager because I wanted to make a lasting impact for the world. Now, I'm not saying everyone needs to quit their job and just serve Jesus. That was my path. God, you can be a tent maker and you can do both. But I'm just saying is that Crossline, we want to be about making an impact to the world with Jesus. It's all about Jesus. When we read about the power and glory of the early church, you know, a lot of churches refer to Acts, you know. It's like, oh, we want that. We want that to happen now. And how did it happen? It all flows from the foundation of the Word of God, fellowship, never forgetting Jesus' work on the cross, and prayer. How does it happen? Through God's word, through fellowship, never forgetting Jesus' work on the cross, and prayer. That's what we need to emulate. Unity, selflessness, growth, and impact characterized the early church's fellowship. As we gather each week, let us go beyond mere attendance and truly engage in the fellowship of worship and community. Let's engage in it. Are you affiliated or are you activated? You know that we've used that word so many times here. Are you affiliated or are you activated? You know, I'm affiliated with the gym. You know, I'm affiliated with LA Fitness. But there's a difference between going, you know, being affiliated with LA Fitness and going to LA Fitness. But I actually go. I am activated at LA Fitness. Even though it doesn't look like I am, I do. But you know, if you're here checking out the church, if you're here, I'm so glad you're here and I want you to be here. And maybe you're just affiliated right now and that's okay. You are welcome here. I'm not trying to say that we don't want you to be affiliated or a part of this, or this is your church home, But there has to come a point in your Christian walk where you get activated into something more than just where you're at. We're not made just to stay in the same place. We're made to be activated, to be challenged. And every one of us has a next step. If you've been here at Crossline, you've heard that time and time again. That's why we're called Crossline. There's lines to cross. The first one is a relationship with Christ. Then what's your next line? What's your next line? What's it gonna be? What's your next step that you have? And that's what it's all about. That's what we want to happen in your life. We want you to be activated in Jesus. Not just a part of it, but be activated in it. Because when you're activated, things change in your life and in others. It's not just for you, it's for others. We're gonna talk about that more in a second. I wanna talk about this passage in Hebrews 10, 23 through 25. Here's what it says. It says this: let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Man, this is a good word. This is a good word for us to stay in the habit, to have the Lord Jesus as our guide and as our who we emulate, but also for us to stay in the habit of meeting together and coming to church and being a part of it. Do not neglect gathering together, for it is in the corporate worship and fellowship that we find encouragement, accountability, and spiritual growth. Do you want to be encouraged? Get involved in fellowship. Do you want to be accountable? Some of us don't want to be accountable, so we're not involved. Then get into fellowship. You want to have spiritual growth, get into fellowship. When we gather, we spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Our shared faith is strengthened and our lives are enriched through the fellowship we experience in community. That's when it happens. You know, the exercise of love, loving somebody, is only possible through community. You can only love somebody through community, whether it's another individual or a group of people. Love can only happen in community. Discouragement makes us avoid community at the very time when we need it the most. Amen? Amen? Man, there are so many reasons why we can't make it to church. I know lives are busy and there's a lot going on. But another reason we don't make it to fellowship, to here on Sunday or to a group, is because we're discouraged. Because stuff happens in life. I understand discouragement. I understand discouragement. I understand pain and suffering. I understand loss. I understand that. I can tell you this, that the having fellowship with God's people and having fellowship with Jesus is a sustainer through that. And the enemy wants nothing more than discourage you and isolate you from fellowship. That's what he wants to do. And we can't allow it to happen. Discouragement makes us avoid community. And I don't want that to happen. I want you to get this. Our motivation to attend church is to obey God and to give to others. One of the main reasons we should gather is to encourage somebody who needs to stand strong against the wave of discouragement. Wait a second, I thought going to church was just for me and for my needs and for what I need. You know, the next time you don't want to go to church, the next time something comes up and it's a crank in your schedule, I would invite you to, or maybe you're discouraged, I want you to think about, I need to go to church not for myself, I need to go to church for the person next to me. I need to go to church for the person besides me. Going to church is not just for yourself, it's for others as well. And when we flip that, when we think about attending church or being in fellowship, when it's not just about us, when we take us out of the equation, and I'm gonna go for other people. Because you don't know the way you sing, the way you worship the Lord, how that impacts somebody else. You don't know what you share in a study or just your presence there, what it does for other people. You being here at Crossline this Sunday blesses other people. It blesses others around you. And that's another part of something that we need to understand, that it's not just about us and our needs. It's about how us being present contributes to the body of Christ. And you do, you are valuable. God loves you. He has a purpose for your life. And some of us, maybe it's just that affiliated stage. We're just checking it out. But we need you here. We need you here checking it out, worshiping the Lord, praising the Lord. We gather to receive something from God. Amen? And that's okay. It's okay if you're here today and your reason for coming is because you need something from God. God has something for you. We gather to give something to God. We gather to encourage each other by our shared faith and values. We gather to bless one another. And we gather to work together, especially on those servants' trips, right? When we're doing something where we're serving, we're working together. TVBS is coming up. We got all these volunteers. We're going to be serving. You know, we need to work together. Man, I'm just going to, it's incredible what happens when we come and worship before the Lord. When we make the priority not about us, but about coming to church for other people. You know, and I just have to say, in my own journey, in my personal walk with God, besides, you know, the Gulf War broke out, I'm not walking with the Lord, the fear of death leads me to Christ at the Harvest Crusade that's coming up in 1990 at Pacific Amphitheater. I said yes to Jesus, and that was the greatest day of my life that happened. But after that, being God's word, I can just, and fellowshipping with God's people has been the sustainer in my Christian walk. It's been such an encouragement. I can probably count on, I don't know, it has to be 20, 30 times I've missed church in the past 33 years. And maybe it's because I was on vacation, we couldn't find a church, but going to church, attending church, being a part of Sunday fellowship is such an amazing, such an amazing testimony in my life. It's really helped me stay consistent. It's really helped me sustain me, even when I didn't want to go, even when I was discouraged, even though when my mom died, even though there's stuff going on, even though experiences that are negative happened, I went to church and maybe I didn't even want to be there, but I went. And in that process of obeying that, God did a work in my life that day. He transformed me. He changed me. And I just think about how, you know, I hear like, oh, Greg, man, I want to be consistent like you. And it's like, man, I'm just figuring out just like you. But I can tell you this, there's a couple things I know. I need to be at church on Sunday. I need to be at church on Sunday. I need to sit in front of the class in school because I got to focus. Because if I don't, I'll be smoking and joking with my buddies in the back row. You know, that's me. And not now. I don't do that now. If I'm in the back row. Back in the day. But I just have to say, it's like it's being consistent. It's so important to be around God's people. And the other part of that is, God, when I said yes to serving, when I said yes, hey, you want to be a counselor up at camp? And I'm like, you don't want me. And I said yes, and I was a counselor. And then how God moved in that. And then a few years later, I was the director of the camp. You know, how does that happen? It happens by saying yes. It happens being in fellowship. We fellowship together here in church, and we fellowship in service too. While weekly fellowship is vital, it's equally important to practice love and care for one another beyond formal gatherings. How do we fellowship with God's people? First, we gather, grow, and worship together. Second, the second thing we do is love, serve, and connect. That's the fill-in. If you have a fill-in, that's the underline. Connect in small groups. Love, serve, and connect in small groups. So we gather, grow, and worship together, and then we love, serve, and connect in small groups. Philippians 2, 1 through 5 says this, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, of any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, of any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one in mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interests of others. The Apostle Paul urges us to have the same mindset as Christ. Humility, unity, love, and selflessness. These virtues are learned and lived out in the context of small groups. And at Crossline, we have a lot of small groups for you to get connected into. We have men's small groups. We have weekly gatherings, and we have Get Healthy. Women, we have weekly studies. Maybe there's summer studies going on now, and there's Get Healthy. And then we have community groups that are happening. There's community group. If you want to get in a community group, get in fellowship, you can do it now. And we have a big community group campaign happening in the fall. Great time to step into as well. And we have so many ways. We have stuff for your children and for your youth. We have ways to get into small groups at Crossline. And for some of you, that's your next step. And you need to do it. You need to take that next step. Small groups provide a safe space where we can bear one another's burdens. We can encourage one another. Like I said in the beginning, I've said it up here a lot. When I come up here, I'm so encouraged when I come here to Crossline because of you, because of my relationships with you. You encourage me and grow together in Christ likeness. That's what happens in a small group. We experience love, fellowship, affection, and mercy. Who wants more love, fellowship, affection, and mercy than meet together with other believers in small groups? Make sure you come to church. Philippians also says, we are encouraged to not only admire the qualities of Jesus, but also actively enter into and imitate those qualities. We need to be imitators of who? Christ. Imitators of Christ. It's better to imitate the qualities of Jesus than imitate the qualities of the world. Amen? Isn't it amazing how much pull the world has though? How much pull culture has? It's crazy. That's the enemy. We need to be about imitating the Lord, imitating Jesus, not imitating the world. It's so easy for us to get caught up. And when we take our eyes off Jesus, like Paul did, and he's walking on water and then takes his eyes off, boom, sinking. It happens to the best of us. We need to imitate Jesus. We need to live for an audience of one. Stop trying to impress people that you don't even like. And let's impress Jesus. How about that? We spend so much time trying to impress people that we don't even know. When we need to impress Jesus. Jesus commanded us to love one another. And he says this in John 13, 34 and 35. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Jesus commanded it. It's not a suggestion. It's not if you want to. What is it? It's a command. It's a command to love one another, just as he loved us. Genuine love within the church community is a powerful testimony to the world. It's through authentic relationships that our love for God and one another becomes tangible. Let us be known by our love for one another as we engage in small groups and foster deeper connections. It's all about growing in faith in Christ. He's talking about the church. He's talking about believers. He's talking about Christians. They will know you by your what? How you love each other. How we're loving each other impacts the kingdom of God externally. And we need to think about that. You know, there's a group, I've said this quote many times, Bernanke Manning. There's a group called DC Talk, and there's a song called Jesus Freak back in the 90s. And Bernanke Manning is a teacher, and he gets on and he says this quote, "The greatest single cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips and walk out the door and deny him by their lifestyle. That's what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable." Wow, that's a convicting passage. It's true though. It's true. It's a true statement. The love exhibited among Jesus' disciples should be so remarkable that it captures the attention of the world. Tertullian, his name is Tertullian, a Christian writer from the second century, reported that the pagans of his day recognized Christians by their love for one another. Now, we need to love people outside the church. Again, Crossline, he's talking about the love that we have for each other, especially in community, in fellowship here on Sunday and in small groups. When I was a youth pastor, at a church, and I was doing ministry, and I had been there for about a year and a half, and there was all these things that I was a youth pastor for no pay, and there was all these things promised that if you achieve these marks, you'll get this. And I achieved these things, and I didn't get these things. So I was at a crossroads, like emotionally, like, yeah, I did all these things, and the youth went from 6 people to 60, and so all these things, and I was a young Christian, I had all these things, and so I was frustrated, and what should I do? Should I stay? And so I had a small group of people that I was with that were my leaders. In the youth ministry. And so all of us are volunteers, but we got together one night at Rick and Cheryl Cree's house and we prayed. And I swear at that point, at that time in my life as a young Christian, I never prayed longer than 10, 15 minutes maybe, you know? And it was one of those nights, it's one of these nights in that small group, in that group of other believers, and in talking about, you know, the things that were burdening me and the things that were frustrating me. And then we just prayed. We just brought it before the Lord. And I remember praying that night, and all of a sudden we got done. I thought it was like 10 minutes. It was 2 hours later. 2 hours later, just the Spirit of God came on me. And I for the first time had this encounter. And then I knew when we left that meeting that I was just to continue doing what God called me to do. Not do anything for what is promised you, or don't do anything for what man says. Just do it. Do it for me. And I will bless you, Greg. And man, I tell you that next week after Wednesday, the kids left, and we secretly rebuilt the whole youth room. All of us worked from Wednesday night, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and when they came on Sunday, it was a whole new youth room, and we had a worship band, and we had this stuff, and then the youth ministry took off. We went from that, I first started with 6, and I had 60. We had 150 kids at a 200, church of 200 in Garden Grove. And it was awesome, and God was moving out of midweeks, and it was powerful, and God did an incredible work. But I attribute, like, it was so easy for me to say, oh, I didn't get this, whatever, I'm out of here. But no, God, something has different for me. It came about in a different way. I was there another 2 years at that church, and then it's a part of the testimony. It was that small group that encouraged me, that I could bring my burdens to, that helped me, that spurred me on. And then a supernatural prayer time activated me into a whole different level of ministry that I never thought possible. And it can happen for you. That's what it means to be in a small group. That's what God wants to do. Fellowship extends beyond formal gatherings here on Sunday and should be a part of our daily lives. How do we fellowship with God's people? First, we gather, grow, and worship together. Secondly, we love, serve, and connect in small groups. And the third thing we do is we build authentic relationship for life's journey. The underlying word there is authentic. It should be authentic relationships. That's actually the whole thing. We need to build authentic relationships. You know, I love those 3 points. The underlying words are together, connect, and authentic relationships. So if we take those words, connect, together, and authentic relationships, I think that's the message for us. We need to connect together in authentic relationships. Amen. This is my last point for you today. And it says that we need to step into those authentic relationships. You know, and I love that word. I love the word authentic. And when I am about and out, when I meet new people, when I talk about, and when people describe Crossline back to me, when I hear people describe it, here's what they say. They say Crossline is loving, real, and authentic. Loving, real, and authentic. Those are the 3 words that I hear most anytime. Love, loving, real, and authentic. You know, and I just want to say thank you. Thank you. Good job. Good job, Crossline Church. Good job, each and every one of you. Awesome job for being authentic, real. Because that is what is oozing out of us. That is what is leaking out of us. Authenticity, realness, and being loving. And I remember when we started Crossline Church, we got together, and JP and Donna and Kimberly and I and a couple other people, we got together, and we were meeting each week trying to decide, what do we want Crossline to be like, you know? What are the characteristics that we want to be known for? And the top one was loving. The top one was loving. And it's just such a blessing to hear that back, that's one. And now we don't do it perfectly. We don't, you know, I'm not saying that everyone here feels the most loved, but if there's any characteristic that comes back the most, it's loving. So praise God for that. Let's be more of that, amen? What the world needs is more love, because everyone's walking around discouraged. Everyone's walking around frustrated. We need to love people not only outside of Crossline, but especially here, because people are looking at us and how we treat each other is important. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. We need trusted relationships with fellow believers who challenge and strengthen our faith. These relationships provide accountability, spiritual growth, and support as we navigate the ups and downs of life. True friendship. Are you a real friend? Like iron sharpening iron, embraces constructive criticism and friction, propelling personal growth and development. Now, we need to have tact when we speak truth. We need to speak truth in what? In love. A lot of people can speak truth, but it's not in love. Don't speak truth if it's not in love. Speak truth in love. Speak truth in love. Be loving. Be tactful when you talk to people. Don't be judgmental, especially to your spouse, especially to those closest to you. Speak in love. Even though you may have to talk about difficult things. I know, and Kimberly hates it because I'm a truth teller. And she doesn't hate it, but she would prefer I not be so honest at times. And I've learned over the years, I wasn't always the most tactful. I wasn't always the most loving. Right, baby? Yes. Some truth confession here. If you guys are perfect, then praise God for that, that you speak in love all the time in every circumstance. Oh man, God is good. But real friends embrace the occasional sparks and friction within their relationships, recognizing that it's through these challenges that they refine and sharpen one another, cultivating deeper connections. And the last verse I have for you guys is Ecclesiastes 9:12. Solomon wrote this. And he says this, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Yes. Solomon points out the obvious, that two are better than one, for they are more productive. There is a strength in companionship and power in unity. This passage reminds us that we gather together. When we do that, we find support, encouragement, accountability. We are stronger and more resilient and better equipped to handle life's challenges. As we worship together, our roots grow deeper and our faith flourishes. These four verses show us the great value of human relationships, that two are better than one. Living and working together is a greater advantage over living and working alone. And when you work together, it adds these four things to your life. Productivity. We have a good return on our labor. Help in need. If one of us falls, we can pick the other up. Comfort in life. We'll keep warm when we're cold, but beyond that, there's a warmth in encouragement. There's a warmth, not just physically, but a warmth emotionally that we have when we're together. And there's safety and security. Two can withstand the trials of life. Amen? A true companion is not only there to share in success, but also to lift us up when we stumble, reminding us that we are never alone in our struggles. The warmth of friendship is a comforting embrace, shielding us from the cold winds of isolation and reminding us the power of the human condition. We are not meant to go through life alone, Crossline. And why is it so hard to ask for help? Why is it easy to go it alone, to not participate, to allow discouragement to isolate us? Because that's exactly what the enemy wants. Do you understand that there is an enemy of God? And his whole goal is to isolate you, to get you to the point of such discouragement that you isolate yourself from everyone around you. The enemy wants to separate us from our relationship with God, and he does that by separating us from our spouses, causing tension. He does that by separating us from our children, separating us from relationships, separating us from church, situations, events. And his whole job is to isolate us so we would take our life, because taking our life mocks God. Yeah. Screw Satan, man. I'm so sick of seeing brothers and sisters take their lives and, you know, because of abuse of alcohol or drugs, that's one way to it, or just doing it. It just breaks our hearts. And those that have lost, those that have taken their life, it destroys. It hurts. And that's what the enemy wants. And if you don't think that's what the enemy wants, I guess you haven't lived long enough. Because that's what he wants to do. He wants to destroy our relationship. He wants to separate us. He wants to keep us alone. You know, and I just want to check. Okay, I'm just wrapping it up, but I got to tell this just one little story just because. No, it's not like that. It's not like that. It's an authentic. So Damon Freeman's going to speak on July 1st. And it's so cool. He's coming here for 4th of July and he's going to speak on freedom. And he's a great guy. But anyway, he came to our Beast Feast 2 years ago and he was in my office and everyone wanted us to meet, you know, combat vet. And so we're in my office and we're looking at my ribbons and stuff and my shadow box. And he talks to me. We're talking a little bit. I call Damon the vet whisperer. So we're talking a little bit and he's a shorter guy than me. And so he looks in my eyes and I just met him, right? And he goes, "Hey, who's your battle buddy?" You know, like that. And I'm like, "Well, you know, I got like JP and I got, you know, Kenny and Jason and I got Rick and I got these guys here, you know?" And he goes, no, I'm not talking about them. Your spiritual pillar is good. I got that. And he has this, SOF Missions has this thing where there's four pillars in helping vets overcome that. And one is physical, psychological, spiritual, and social, you know? And he goes, I know you got the spiritual one down, but you know, but how are you doing on the social side? You know? And I have a lot of people I know and I'm outgoing. And so I've naming off all these friends and he goes, no. Who's other combat buddies that you are having in your life that you talk to on a regular basis? Boom. Zero. Zero. And so we're talking and he just like poked the bear, right? After a few minutes with me, just in seconds, just identified an area that I had not leaned into, an area that I had isolated myself from because I don't want to think about it. I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to be reminded of it. So I was the guy after I got out of the Marine Corps that after 16 years, I never went to the VA. I never had a tattoo. I didn't have a sticker on my car. I didn't really talk about this year in my circle. I didn't really talk about what's happening. It's only recently that I have a sticker on my car that, you know, God has done a work in my life. And now this just happened last year, this desire to use the gifts that God's given me to help other veterans, because I was missing an opportunity. I would talk to vets time and time, you know, over the years, but I wasn't connected with vets. So that's why I'm doing the vets gathering tonight. I'm doing it to lean into that. And then I went to Damon's clinic. After 2 years of him pushing me, I finally went because I'm like, dude, there's other people that need it. I don't need to go. I'm good. I went to his clinic in February and it transformed my thinking in this area. And I realized that there's things in my life. And I know if there's things in my life that I wasn't leaning into because it's discomfort to me, because I'd rather be more isolated. I know there's things in your life that are discomfort for you and that you need to lean into. And when you get into small group, when I went to that group of 10 guys, 10 vets over a period of about 5 days, and now these 10 guys are guys, they're friends for life. And we text each other and I have a band of brothers, combat brothers. Since then, I've met local combat guys and guys who are in the military and veterans. And it's ignited this excitement in me, as you can tell. And that wasn't there last year. I didn't have that last year. It's through fellowship. It's through connection. It's through small group that I leaned into something that made me just uncomfortable. And then it's changed my life and it's given me a new something else to step into. I don't coach football anymore, so now I'm going to coach vets, I guess, you know? Praise the Lord. So, but God wants to do something in your life. You need battle buddies in your life, whatever it is you're going through. And that's what fellowship is. Fellowship is not just a nice addition to our faith. It is a gift from God that brings us into deep communion with him and with other people. How do we fellowship with God's people? First, we gather, grow, and worship together. Second, we love, serve, and connect in small groups. Thirdly, we build authentic relationships for life's journey. You know, and if you're not connected, fellowship is easy here at Crossline. Fellowship is really easy. One is, the way we do it is we worship every Sunday at Crossline. We worship every Sunday. We have services here. We have the chapel. If the music's too loud for you, we have a chapel service at 9 o'clock. Chapel, giving you props out. It's wherever the camera is. I don't know. Love you, chapel. But if the music's too loud, we have a chapel service at 9 a.m. that you can go to and be a part of. And we stream this message into the chapel. So come. And then we have the seats up there. We have the balcony. What's up, my people? And then we have the whatever it is outside. Patio, thank you. We have midweek ministries. I talked about those, men's, women's, community groups. Get connected into those. They're powerful. You know, for your whole family, we have things, you know, especially in the fall when it kicks off. We have community groups that are happening in the fall. Get into one. That's for retreats, and I mean, that's for couples and for singles. Get into community groups. Retreats, we have amazing retreats. You just heard about the wilderness one. We have a men's retreat coming up in October, and it's really awesome. Really excited about that. We have women's retreats, and we have women's encounters, and there's things for you to get into, and then when you get alone, we have mission trips. One of the greatest things we do is going down with a group of 15 guys to build a house in Ensenada. Talk about being on mission. Talk about relationships. It's instant fellowship. Right, Tim? Instant family. You want instant connection? You want instant fellowship? You want to be a part of a body? Get involved. Get into fellowship. And we serve by serving at our food pantry, serving around here. There's so many needs that we have. You can serve. Serve in so many areas. Serve at TVBS that's coming up. You can come to events, bring your friends and family, meet people at our events. So I have a TVBS coming up. Journey to Bethlehem is phenomenal. We get 10,000 people on our campus that weekend. We have Christmas events, Easter events. There's plenty of opportunity. And then we have a host of other connection points. We have intimate issues for care. We have grief share, and we have anti-sex trafficking ministry. And there's so many others I'm missing and that we have, but there's so much to get connected into. Let us embrace the call to enjoy fellowship with God's people. We need to enjoy fellowship with God's people. For when you do, your faith will deepen, and we will be equipped to impact the world with God's love. Amen? Amen. And I want to close out the service this way. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pray, and after I pray, we're going to do another greeting time. Don't we love greeting here at Crossline? Yeah. So what I want us to do is I want us to take a second before you leave. So there's not going to be a closing song. Your closing song is fellowship. And so what I would like you to do is there's going to be four questions on the board after I pray. And it's how long have you been coming to Crossline? What do you like best about Crossline? Where are you experiencing fellowship at Crossline? Or where would you like to get involved? And then maybe you invite them. Maybe invite them to be a part of that fellowship. Or maybe invite them to lunch. Maybe today or another day. But I want to encourage you to step into fellowship. So I'm going to pray, and I'm going to release you to do another greeting time. And then whenever you're done with your greeting, you can go ahead and you can leave. Let's pray. Lord, we are so grateful to be in your house this morning, God. God, it's so grateful to go over these scriptures that talk about fellowship. Lord God, I pray that we would do that in our lives. Thank you for this word. Lord, I pray that you would apply it to our lives and our hearts, Lord God, that we'd walk with you boldly. Lord, I ask you to mold us and shape us into who you want us to be. Lord, I pray for the fellowship of this body. I pray that those that maybe are more resistant, Lord God, maybe they're not extroverted, or maybe it's hard for them, Lord God, I pray that you would give them the courage to get involved in fellowship, at a small group, in serving somewhere, Lord God, that you would bless them. Lord, thank you for the service, and thank you for speaking to us. In Jesus' name we pray, we all said, amen, amen. Amen. So right now, take some time, please. Go meet somebody you've never met before, or someone you barely know. Go talk to somebody. Greet each other, please.